UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.
Bienvenidos y bienvenidas al programa La Salud al Día, el programa que trata de los temas de salud desde una perspectiva social, analizando las causas de los problemas de salud y sus soluciones desde el ángulo de la prevención, es decir, desde antes de que ocurran. En el programa de hoy continuamos con las entrevistas y esta vez lo hacemos acompañados de Camila y Ágata, alumnas Erasmus de la asignatura de Promoción de Salud, una asignatura en la que se comprende la salud desde el ámbito de la participación, de la abogacía en salud y de la necesidad de abordar los entornos como determinantes clave para la salud. Con ellas hablamos hoy sobre infecciones de transmisión sexual y especialmente del VIH, una problemática que no solo afecta a las personas que resultan ser VIH positivas, sino que está profundamente influenciada por el entorno, los recursos y los medios preventivos. También aprovechamos para celebrar el Día Mundial de la Lucha contra el SIDA, que se celebra el 1 de diciembre, y la necesidad de hacer hincapié en la capacidad para dar esos medios para el tratamiento y abordarlo de una manera en la que se luche contra el estigma y comprender esta patología desde una visión de beneficio público. Los micrófonos, Sergio Morales, me acompaña Ildefonso, Sonia Martínez en los controles.
Camila Mileska.
Yes, hello.
Y Agata Rosak.
Hello.
Welcome to La Salud al Día. Thank you for contributing to this program. We are going to address the problem of sexually transmitted infections. And first of all, can you just make me an introduction of the issue?
Basically today we are going to talk about sexually transmitted infections and diseases. We wanted to focus the most on AHV. And the aspect of AHV in the population and problems that are connected with it and how we can manage those.
Okay, Camila, can you make an introduction? What are sexually transmitted infections?
So first of all, we have to talk about the difference between sexually transmitted infections and diseases. Well, if infections, it might be a virus, bacteria, fungus, or a parasite that people can get through sexual contact, while a disease develops because of this infection.
So the difference is that you can have an infection, but you are not aware that you have the infection. And this is a risk, because the risk when you have the infection, you can transmit the infection to others, and you are not aware. That is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Is there a problem with the sexually transmitted infections, or?
It is basically a problem because people are not testing and they are not aware. They are symptomless, asymptomatic, most of the time, and having sexually transmitted infection doesn't mean you have sexually transmitted disease also. So, because the disease is the when you have the symptoms also.
Well, and why are important these diseases or these infections?
Many people are sick, yeah, they are affected by it and they don't.
The frequency is high all over the world, or?
Yes, it is high because, like, daily there are over like million cases recorded every day of any sexually transmitted infection.
And which is the impact in the population health? In what are the effects of these infections? Do you have these infections, or and there is complication or not? Or
there are a lot of complications, and also just transmitting the STD, and about only like being aware of that, it might be stigmatized by the population, but the like it might end in worse complication than just having the STD. It might also end in with infertility.
So you can have infertility, for instance, maybe for chlamydia or gonorrhea, or you can have cancer also.
For human papillomavirus, exactly,
or hepatitis virus that can be also transmitted sexually.
You also, you also mentioned the stigma. What you mentioned stigma? Why you mention?
Because when people hear that somebody suffers from sexual transmitted infection or disease, people are distancing themselves. It's like,
Why do you think that this happened? Maybe for because people do not really know what is.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people don't know how they're transmitted. Why somebody can have the sexually transmitted infection, they are scared of getting it and they don't know how it works. I think so.
We were also talking about the complications, and we have forgot one of the most important is you can die
of infection.
Exactly. Okay, well, infection that complicates with a disease, and particularly HIV. This is one of the important diseases that makes it made a difference in the history of sexually transmitted infections, because it was a pandemic that had an important impact in mortality. Could you please tell me something about HIV infection, introduction to HIV infection and HIV disease?
So HIV was discovered back in 1983, and we've learned a lot about this virus, about a lot of complication, what might it cause, but even though we know a lot of that this virus has only 9 genes, it still remains one of the biggest challenges humanity has ever faced.
But now we have treatment for the disease, no? It's not like in the 80s, it was a serious problem. Now it continues to be a problem because some people have not access to the treatment, but there is a treatment. No?
Yeah, it is. There is a treatment which stops the cycle. Like, mm-hmm. There are many of them, and they are stopping the cycle of...
And transform the disease in a chronic disease, maybe, you know?
But
the still continues to be a global problem.
Yeah, exactly. Also, there are many other ways if you are in risk of getting HIV.
Could you give me some figures on the relevance of the infection in the world?
Like the scale?
The number of cases or something like that.
At the end of last year, it was estimated by around 40 million cases of AIHV, but over the years, it's getting a bit better every year, because like around 2010, it was, comparing to 2010, it's like 40% less. And back in the 90s, it's like 60% less cases every year. So,
and is there some people that has a highly risk of get the HIV, or do you know if there are some population groups that are more exposed to this kind of infection?
Yes, of course, there are people that of course are at high risk. But they also can use some strategies, like using PrEP, which is a medication to prevent HIV. Also, post-exposure pills, and also they have to stay aware of the risk. They have to use protection.
For example, sexual workers or men who have sex with men, are these groups?
Yes, of course, these are these groups. And
also drug users.
Drug users.
When they share the needle, for
the
example.
The abuse of drugs. Yeah. The
so the type of sexual relation makes a difference in the risk, no?
Yes, yes, it is higher risk.
Because there is a disruption in the mucosa, in the skin. If more easy, if you have an anal coitus, to have this disruption of the surface, and it's more easy to get infected.
Exactly. No,
it's, that is, and this is why women have more risk than men also.
Yes.
In a coitus when one of them are infected. Yeah. If you're a woman, you have more risk than a man. Why? Because you have more open surfaces to get the virus in. Mm-hmm. In, no?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yes.
Okay, so and women have more risk also because, if I am right, because some infections such as gonorrhea and chlamydia go silent in women until they have complication. Is like that, more or less, or?
More or less, I think yes, but I think it may be true. Not in every case, of course, but
no, I'm talking about chlamydia, for instance. In chlamydia, men could go with could have symptoms such as non-gonococcal urethritis, but women have no symptoms until they have. Complications such as pelvic inflammatory disease with complication in terms of infertility and things like
to
that.
To the certain stage. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we were talking before starting the program with Ildefonso, and he told me his experience in making and applying the surveillance system here in our province. How was that experience, Ildefonso? Did you remember that we were talking about how you implement the surveillance for HIV?
Well, more than surveillance, what we did is many years ago is to create centers where you can go without giving your name. This was because of stigma. So it was a way to approach sexually transmitted infections, to open centers that you can go without giving your name, and it's free, free access. Yeah. So you can go and get tested, and you don't have to say anything about you.
Yeah.
And this is a way to approach the problem of a stigma.
Hay un monstruo gris en la cocina que lo rompe todo, que no para de gritar. Tengo una mano en el cuello que con sutileza me impide respirar. Una venda me tapa los ojos, puedo leer el miedo y se acerca.
Hola, esta Rosalén nos abre la franja crítica de Salud al Día. Hoy habría muchos temas que tratar. Estamos cerca del Día Mundial del SIDA, que nos recuerda lo que nos queda por hacer, porque las enfermedades de transmisión sexual, las infecciones de transmisión sexual y el VIH en particular, nos recuerdan que hay enfermedades que van con estigma asociado, ¿no? Y son un indicador de la tolerancia de la sociedad, del respeto a los derechos humanos, de cómo si suprimimos el estigma es mucho más fácil controlar estas enfermedades. Por lo tanto, la lucha contra el estigma es una de las claves para estas enfermedades, para el SIDA, pero también para las enfermedades mentales, por ejemplo, ¿no? Siempre tenemos que tener esto presente. Pero es que también hoy estamos cerca, porque ayer, de otro problema serio, como es la violencia de género, ¿no? Y ayer, que fue el día de la violencia mundial de la violencia de género, pues con malas noticias, ¿no? Tuvimos que celebrarlo con la noticia de que hasta una chica de 15 años fue asesinada. Y esto nos recuerda también el largo camino que queda para la igualdad, para tratar con toda la desinformación que hay sobre la violencia de género, ¿no? Y cómo debemos abordar entre todos un problema de salud que es enorme, un problema que dice cuán saludable es una sociedad o no. Una sociedad que permite que se maten a las mujeres por el simple hecho de serlo significa que es una sociedad enferma. Tenemos que hacer lo máximo para conseguir entre todos mejorar nuestra sociedad.
¿Cómo se despliega la vela de un barco?
Volvemos al programa de Salud al Día con el tema de hoy, que son las infecciones de transmisión sexual y en particular la infección por VIH, como más destacada, ¿no? Hemos comenzado el programa hablando pues, de la importancia de estas infecciones, de algunos grupos de riesgo, sabemos cuáles son las formas de transmisión. También hemos dicho en la franja crítica que celebrábamos el Día Mundial del SIDA pronto y ayer lo de la violencia de género. Y también hemos de decir que cuando tratamos de las infecciones de transmisión sexual, la cuestión de género es importante porque a veces las negociaciones entre parejas para usar el condón, el predominio del hombre hace que a veces no se use el condón en la negociación para ver cómo se hacen las relaciones sexuales. Y esto a veces afecta de forma que quien más sufre son las mujeres, ¿no? Y esto nos lleva a tratar de la prevención, así que empezaré para que nos diga algunas generalidades. ¿Quién de las dos quiere? Who of you want to begin to talk about prevention of sexual transmitted infections?
Maybe we can start with protecting yourself and others. Like you mentioned before, you thought about opening a center, like we talked about the center where people can go and they don't have to give their name and get tested. And it's really important to know if you're positive or negative, because you know if you're spreading something and you can also prevent this and be aware of it.
So in these infections, to cut the transmission chain is important. So what you mean that it's a key issue is to know if you are infected or not.
Yeah,
so if you have had sexual relations that are risky sexual relations, you have to attend a place, a center that can at least make tests to you and detect if you are infected or not. And meanwhile, you have to abstain of having new sexual relations, that is?
Yes.
So
yes, exactly.
You have begun for individual recommendations. Another individual recommendations, Camila?
Well, when someone finds out that they are positive, this person has to start antiretroviral therapy so that there is a smaller possibility in passing virus to other people. So we should try the therapy as soon as it's possible.
If we talk about HIV infection, then the treatment of infection is crucial in order to prevent transmission. So adherence to the treatment is key. So because it reduces the charge of virus in blood, so the possibility of transmission is reduced a lot. Is this?
Yes, of course. And we have to be also aware that other people might be infected, so we have to use protection.
Okay.
So, as we were talking about, there is a crucial fact that is the safe sexual relations, no? And is there other strategies that can improve this safe statement?
Using condoms is just the most popular and the easier, I think, way for people currently to prevent the risk of transmitting any sexual transmitted infection, not only AIHV but also gonorrhea or chlamydia. And it's not only safe for like protecting us from the infection, but also is like safe sexual experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So condoms prevent of many sexual transmitted infections. So it's a very good way to prevent. And is easy to obtain condoms in your country for young people? Are cheap and is easy to buy in any place?
Yeah, they are pretty affordable, I think. Many people use them, from what I know, and they are, you can buy them in any convenience shop around, so it's good that they are available everywhere.
Okay.
And is there any problem, for example, with the traditional mind about the use of condoms, or, for example, in your country?
Yes, Poland is pretty...
religious?
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, it's really, really religious.
It's a bit conservative in these subjects. But I think it's changing, so people are more aware of the risk.
Spanish to be also. But it sometimes was a help for the prevention, because when the bishops were against condoms, it was a publicity for condoms. So it was a sort of publicity. So it was an advantage for prevention that the issue was in the public agenda, mainly by the bishops, because it was a help for the prevention. Yeah. And it's curious because when we are talking about prevention, individual prevention, we're talking about individual prevention, not from the point of view of public health, but centered on the person. It's strange that there is not a way to promote sexual relations that are not centered in coitus. There are many pleasant sexual relations that are not centered in coitus. I don't know why it is not more promoted, this type of sexual relations. What do you think?
I think talking about sexual experience in general is still a taboo topic, and it feels still uncomfortable. So I think the easiest way to talk about it is just to talk about sex, and people are not mentioning other other ways of transmitting, and people see it as a coitus. And
but it's curious because coitus it appears to be the preferred way by men, not by women.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the difference. And I remember when I went to a workshop about HIV prevention and STI prevention many years ago in Holland. And I went to the group of prostitutes and clients, and sometimes I was the part of the of the technicians. And I remember a prostitute that was telling us that she began to explain erotic stories to the clients in order to prevent the use of coitus. And she was successful. And some clients, the next time they went, they say, no, I prefer the story, the erotic story and manipulation, masturbation, better than not coitus. So it was a very good way for these prostitutes to use this type of approach.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There are many approaches that has been not promoted. It appears that it's all centered in coitus and in the men desires, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, talking about the population approach, let's see. There is some intervention for people at a special risk?
Yeah, it's a PrEP strategy.
What is PrEP?
PrEP is, it sounds difficult, but it's if you know you have contact with person who is HIV positive, you can buy pills. The price is not really appealing, so I found it also a problem because I checked it. But you take a pill before having a sexual experience with HIV positive person, and then you follow the pills during the next days, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have
it's a tool, but I think it's a bit difficult. It's better to prevent in another way.
You
probably
have to stay really consistent with it, and it has to be the same hours, and it may be difficult.
It's curious, but for example, there are some risky practice, for example, the chemsex, that make these kind of pills super effective in the prevention. I don't know if you, what is your opinion about this use? For example, before starting chemsex sessions or something like this. Did you know? No, that's a practice which consists of having sex in a party while you are taking drugs and alcohol. And it's important to know, for example, for public health, because there is a crucial point to prevent the spread.
Well, in this case, it depends, of course, on the party. But if we are talking about drugs, people can only use also inject drugs into blood system. So they have to be also aware of this way of spreading the HIV. So, I think they shouldn't only think about the sexual way of transmitting.
Yeah, also taking drugs can speed up spreading the HIV, and especially in the brain, and damage neurons, and and actually, make it worse and faster.
Yeah, and studies show that also some drugs can actually boost HIV replication, especially in the brain, which makes the disease progress faster and causing more damage.
Okay. Well, you're going to be doctor very soon. What is the position as a doctor to approach the problem?
Okay.
Well, quick answer, because we're finishing.
Oh. Yeah, okay. So explaining, like the first thing, explaining to our patient that, what option do they have, how easily they can test, and maybe where they can test. It's good for us to know that we can recommend some place. And educate about safe sex practices.
Okay, thank you. I think that we need a new program to talk about this. Ha sido todo por hoy. Muchas gracias a Agatha, Camila, por estar aquí.
Gracias.
Ha sido un placer tratar un tema tan complejo, pero al menos hemos podido abordarlo. Nuestro primer programa en lengua inglesa con dos colaboradores de Polonia. Muchas gracias, Sonia. Gracias, Sergio. Hasta siempre en Salud al Día. I tot el camí que feim serà per anar endavant. I tot el camí que feim serà per anar endavant. Oh, està oberta per tu, l'altra per la bona gent, la tercera per l'amor que la tancarà el meu temps. Àngel caigut, principi del foc, ma gran
UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.